Here's our scripture reading. Matthew 17, verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And there he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." And the disciples asked him, "Why then do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" And Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah comes and will restore all things. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but have done to him everything they wished. And in the same way, the Son of Man is going to suffer at their hands." And then the disciples understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. And when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "And you unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. And then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" And he replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible for you." And when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They'll kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life." And the disciples were filled with grief. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, would you illuminate our hearts and minds so that we might see you and see your Son in these words, that you might encourage us and challenge us and shape us as you see fit. And Lord, would you speak through your servant Tharwat, through your child whom you love, give him the words to say so that we might all worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters and from the Presbyterian Church of Egypt. We have about more than 417 churches and fellowships, and all of them, they love the Lord and they love his word. But before I start, I think I need to speak with my mother tongue, as Americans, when they come, they speak in English in Egypt. So when I come here, I should speak in Arabic and somebody interpret it. So, Tim, I interpreted for you twice in Egypt. So I'll speak in Arabic, and you'll speak in English, is it? أنا هتكلم عربي وأنت تترجم إنجليزي. No. okay. You sit down. He came to Egypt only once, so I forgive. But Merlin came about 21 times. Can you do it? Not this time. I'll speak in tongues, so listen to me. When we look to God's word, we can look for it from different sides. It's like a diamond. Each side has its own beauty. So I will look with you to the Word of God today in a different way. The passage that we went through, the scripture, in Matthew 17, it took us into three locations connected to the mountain. So in the beginning of the chapter, the first part of the chapter, we see on the top of the mountain. And then from verse 9, they were coming down the mountain, the way from the mountain to the valley. And then in verse 14, when they came to the crowd. Three locations. And in each location, we can see a picture of a role that God is calling us to play in our journey with Him as we are here in this earth. And it could be for each of us as an individual, and also it could be for all of us as a church. So come with me to these three locations. First, on the top of the mountain. What do we see on the top of the mountain? We see Jesus taking his close circle of disciples, John, Peter, and James, and they went up to the mountain, away from everything, his disciples, with him alone, and he appeared to them in a way they didn't see before, shining like the sun from within, not from outside. It is not a reflection like Moses, but it's from inside, a glimpse of his glory. He appeared to them to prove that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And then they were joined with two great men of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. What a great company. Who can feel bored? It's great. Jesus, Moses, Elijah. Moses shared about what happened and his journey with the Lord and his teaching. Elijah, his testimonies of power and what he did. And then, not only that, but we see Peter. He was amazed, and he wanted to stay over there on the top of the mountain. Peter said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. It's good to us to be here. We don't want to go down." More than that, to set the location, "I will make three dwellings here." We want to stay here all the time. You, Elijah, Moses, in your presence, we want to listen to you. And then comes from heaven a cloud that covered them. And they heard the voice, "This is my son, the beloved." On the top of the mountain. For us, as a church and as individuals, I can think that on the top of the mountain, it's the place where we gather to worship Jesus, where we come to listen to Him and to Him alone. When we meet together as a family, as disciples of the Lord, on the top of the mountain, where we play our priesthood role of worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on the top of the mountain. The church plays this role of priesthood. The church is called, this is the great call for the church to worship, to be in the presence of the Lord, now and forever. And this is the goal of everything. When Tim shared about the revelation, it's a scene of worship from all tongues, all tribes, all nations from the world, worshiping the Almighty God, pointing to Jesus. On the top of the mountain, we are all worshiping and praising the same God. We are praising and He is listening, because He deserves all the praise and the glory. Inside the church, this is my interpretation of being on the top of the mountain. Inside the church, together in a fellowship and in worship. But inside the church, we should remember that we are pointing everything to one person. Inside the church, we are not practicing our own thing. We are not proving ourselves. We are not shining ourselves. We are not taking the glory ourselves by the services we are doing, by the gifts God is giving to us, by our wealth, our positions, our power. But all of this, we are pointing towards Jesus. This is what should be inside the church. He, Him alone, alone. And our worship and our practices inside the walls of the church, on the top of the mountain, should be guided by the Holy Spirit, should point towards Jesus. Everything we need to do, it should be in unity together. I imagine on the top of the mountain at that time that Peter was not a Catholic at that time. And James was not an Orthodox. Elijah was not a Pentecost. And John the Baptist, or John was not a Baptist. And Moses was not Anglican. And Jesus was not a Presbyterian yet at that time. Unity. They came together to worship Jesus. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is heaven, to be in His presence, to be with this company. Very good smiling people, wearing nice clothes, smelling good. That's great. Who on earth wants more than that? And I can imagine also, if they continued to be on the top of the mountain, Peter could think, okay, we are spending a long time, let us arrange ourselves. So let us have a committee of arranging the people who are coming to visit. Or let us see a committee that will bring food and arrange things. And then they start to fight with each other because they want things to be right and they want to do things by their own. And this is what happened when the church stays a long time on the top of the mountain. Yes, it's great to be in the top of the mountain, but Jesus then tell them, and this is my interpretation, don't quote me, Peter, in that. Get up. Get up. Lord, we are afraid. Yes, they were afraid of the sound they heard, but my interpretation that we are afraid to go down. It's good to be here. We don't want to go anywhere else. This is a place of secure for us. We don't want to leave the top of the mountain. Jesus told them, get up. We cannot stay in the top of the mountain all of our lives. There is a business. There is a need down there. We need to go to cover this need. And this is the call of the church, to worship in the top of the mountain, but to recognize its needs. And this takes us to the second location. So in the top of the mountain, the priesthood of the believers worshiping Jesus, pointing to him and glorifying his name, listening to him and him alone. But we need to go down. The second location, as they were coming down the mountain, they started to talk. Jesus told them not to tell everybody, and then they were asking him, why then do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? They start to talk about Elijah, about John the Baptist, and about Jesus' suffering. And these three are prophets. Elijah is a prophet. John the Baptist is a prophet. And one of the roles of our Lord Jesus, he was a prophet. This also tells us about another role of the church and of us. In the top of the mountain, a priesthood role of worshiping, the great call for the church, but in the way down, this is the prophetic role of the church, speaking about prophets. What is the role of the prophet in the Old Testament? The prophet brings the truth of God, speaks the truth, bringing the values of the kingdom of God in front of the people, speaking the truth in front of the powers of that time, of the kings and queens of that time, to speak against the corruption, to cry for social justice, for the poor, for the depressed, for human rights. This is a role the church should play, to stand against the evils of the days and to raise its voice against that. And this is what happened with Elijah and John the Baptist. They said, Elijah told Ahab, you don't deserve to take this garden. And John the Baptist, he told Herod, you cannot take this woman. They were bold in their faith. They stopped. But they paid a price. They suffered. Elijah was persecuted and he should leave his place and run away. John the Baptist, his head was cut. And Jesus, and here it says, suffered. He died on the cross. Yes, we are called as a church and as individuals to play the prophetic role of our existence here in the world, to proclaim God's word to our societies, to stop against the evils of the time. When we see violence, when we see corruption, when we see injustice, the church should raise its voice. But when we raise our voices, let us know that we should suffer. We need to pray, to pay price for that. The church is the salt and the light of this world. And its light should shine in front of the people of the world. And the church, while doing that, should suffer. If we don't suffer because of this prophetic role, there is something wrong. If we don't come out of comfort zone to pay a price for our faith, there is something wrong. But to take it to the extent against the evils in a way that the world will not like that, he will dislike what we are doing because you are speaking boldly. We cross the borders. We are invited to cross our borders with the world and speak the truth. This also can lead us on the ways as a church to overcome the injustice of the world through our social ministry, through helping the poor, through uplifting the poor communities, our social ministry as a church. This is part of the prophetic role. Elijah, while he was running away, he helped a widow to live, and he covered her needs for a while. While we are doing that, as a church, we need also to be an example. As we are attacking the evil in the world and the corruption in the world, the church should be clean in all of its practices and all of its ways playing this role. To be an example, the light cannot be hide, but should shine. Two locations so far, so we are coming to close very soon. On the top of the mountain, priesthood role, worshiping God inside the church together. And then we need to go down. We have other role to play, which is the prophetic role, as I mentioned. Then, when they came to the crowd, what was there? Under the mountain, what was there? Chaos. Crying. A huge problem. A human being is suffering. A father is crying for his family, for his son. His son was in great, great need. This is the world down there, crying for help, needs the good news, needs somebody to come and heal them. And disciples couldn't do it. So here Jesus is facing two big problems. First, the need of the people he was serving. When we look to this son, we see that he was fall. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. The evil one captured this son, and sometimes into the fire, and this is what we see in our world today. Fire. Not only in Brazil, but in the Middle East. In many countries, we see fire. We see wars. We see diseases, we see disasters, fire. The people of the world are in fire, and they need somebody to go and heal them and tell them that those who are in fire can have hope. Fire, but also in water. I interpret that as Water, it's a pleasant thing. The luxury life, the entertainment, taking people away from recognizing their needs for Jesus and for the salvation. This is what the evil one is doing with the people. And then Jesus came and he interfered. He came because he is the only hope. He is the only hope. And he healed this son. Jesus is the answer of the problems of our world. This was the first problem. And I can see in that a call for us to do like Jesus and to go to the needy people to hear the message of salvation, of deliverance, of freedom. We need to proclaim the gospel message and to help those who are crying for help. The second challenge, the second problem that Jesus was facing is his disciples. His disciples. They were a problem themselves. They couldn't heal the young, the boy. They couldn't heal him. And the father, he complained about that. And then Jesus, after healing him, he started to repeat the lesson to them. Come. What happened? What's wrong? Why didn't we heal him? Why we couldn't? He told lessons for them. You need to remember what I taught you before. So let us pray, let us fast, let us learn again. Discipleship. Jesus will use the church through the disciples of the church, through discipleship and training every believer to play the role, because he told them, I will not be with there forever. I don't have any other choice but you to do the Great Commission. This is the call of the church, to play the kingship role, to spread the kingdom of God. This is the Great Commission. Through the disciples, and Jesus is the one who will set people free. The church is called to spread the kingdom of God and to help the world to listen to the gospel message. So these are the three locations. On the top of the mountain, praising the Lord, worshiping him together inside, and then we go outside to play the prophetic role and help the church, help the world as a church. And in that, I can say this is the great command. The prophetic role is the great command by loving the world and helping the world. The third place, this is the kingship role of the church, which is the Great Commission. Then let me conclude by two things or three things. In verse 22 and 23, it gives us the root of everything. It talks here about the death, and they will kill him, and on the third day, he will be raised. All the foundation of our ministry, of our role as a church in its three dimensions, depends upon the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if we try to do anything out of this foundation, it will be just a human effort. The cross should be in the middle of our worship on the top of the mountain, in our prophetic role as we are carrying the cross and suffering for him. And also, the cross is the answer for those who are in need for the good news. But also, the resurrection is the hope that we are holding on. This is my first note. Second note, that we need to be on the top of the mountain to worship, to learn, to understand our role, and then we need to go down and bring those who are in the valley, bring them with us for them to go also to the top of the mountain and worship him. This is the goal, to worship him and to let others come and worship him. This is my second. My third and final note here, and this is an answer of a question I was asked yesterday in my presentation. Should we do only social justice, or should we do evangelism? As if you are asking me, should I be a good husband or a good father? Or a good son for my parents? It's the same. It's a three-dimension role. Each one of them is very important. The church is called to worship. The church is called to for social justice, and the church is called to proclaim the good news and to evangelize. They go together. There is no separation between the great call, the great command, and the great commission. We are doing good social justice for people because we are called by Jesus to be good, to do good for everyone. But also we are called by Jesus to proclaim the good news and to do the great commission. We cannot separate things. But each one of us is called according to his talents, according to his own call. But we need each other. The body have different organs, and each one of them can have something to do when we recognize our call. Brothers and sisters, each one of us is invited to worship, individually or as a church. And each one of us is invited to touch the world with the mercy and love. And each one of us is invited to proclaim the good news. Finally, it is not good to be here. We need to go home.